We have two scripture readings this morning, one from Galatians and one from Psalms. The first is from Galatians 5, starting with chapter 16. May the word of God fall afresh on your ear this day. Paul writes, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll get to the Psalms in a minute. So we've been in this sermon series about the Holy Spirit. We saw that the Holy Spirit is similar, it's the same attributes as God and Jesus. The love, the creative power that we know God has, the love and reckoning that we know that Jesus has for us is the same for the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit was there from the very beginning in the creation story, brooding over the chaos. Last week, we saw that the Holy Spirit has a whole lot to do with life-giving power. That it is the very presence of the Holy Spirit that gives us our being. In the book of Genesis, we see the very breath of God breathing into Adam, and he comes to life. That breath, that spirit, that wind. Now, throughout the centuries, it has been debated whether the Holy Spirit's presence is alive and well among us. What exactly does the Holy Spirit do? Does the Holy Spirit still empower us like those first century Christians? Those first century Christians were able to do miraculous things just like Jesus did. We don't see that very often anymore. And with the lack of power has come the idea that we must not get these same gifts anymore. We must not get this same power anymore. That's one side of the debate. I think that side of the debate might be a little inaccurate, because I feel like that side of the debate might leave us in a pretty hopeless situation, and I know that God wouldn't leave us there. The scripture is full of promises of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do and will do. But the thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is a very gentle entity. My professor, Billy Abraham from Perkins Theological Seminary, he said, "The Holy Spirit is like a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will only come in if asked. We talk a lot about God the Father, and we talk a lot about Jesus the Son, and that's only two-thirds of the story. And if we live with only two-thirds of the story, we're okay, because that two-thirds of the story gets to the point where we have been justified and made right with God, that God is willing to sacrifice God's love for us. God is willing to love us. That God knows the exact mess we are in, the mess we've made, and chose to come anyway. But it only gets us that far. Because for some of us, if we do not ask the Holy Spirit to come in, we continue to wrestle with ourselves. Paul talks a little bit about this in Galatians, this passage that I just read to you, but also more so in other books, that we have this old self and this new self, and they're constantly at battle with one another. It's that new self that wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I'm going to live my life differently today. I'm not going to eat those bad things. I am going to exercise. I'm not going to do any of those bad habits today. I'm going to be a better person today. And we get up and we get dressed and we slip right back into our routine. We are at lunch, and we did not pack our lunch, so we know that we get to go out and choose our lunch wherever we want. And so we're in line to buy our lunch, and our reasoning begins to start. Oh, look, the salads. Look how expensive. Why does lettuce have to be so expensive? It's always more expensive than the other choices. Whether you go to McDonald's or whether you go to a nicer restaurant, it's cheaper to eat unhealthy. So here's my reasoning when I go into the restaurant, wherever it is. You know, I could save some money. I could just get the value meal. Do you know how unhealthy the value meal is now? How many calories is in it? But I saved a few bucks. You see how that reasoning happens? And we don't get out of those old habits because we can make any kind of excuse. That excuse, I feel like, is valid. But it totally knocked out that new self goal. And that little cheap hamburger was delicious. And it was greasy. And it was everything my old self loves. You put that perspective in some of the bigger issues in our lives and how we'll reason with ourselves. This will be my absolute last time to do this. How many times have you told yourself that? This is the absolute last time I'll let myself off the hook. And we struggle with ourselves, and we struggle with ourselves. It's this old self and new self battling with each other. In the simplest of decisions and what we're going to eat, to some things that really have us addicted, that we don't want anybody else to know about. And we stand at the foot of the cross being told that we are made right with God, to forgive ourselves and carry on. The thing about it, if we stop there at that two-thirds mark at the cross, we will continue to battle with ourselves, and it will never get better. We'll battle with ourselves. We'll battle with the law. You see, the law was given to Moses so that people could see what we did wrong, to know the difference between right and wrong. It enlightens what's wrong in our life. It's kind of like the diagnosis, but it's not the cure, you see. And though we've been made right with Jesus Christ, we need something else besides being reconciled, and besides the law, which tells us what we're doing wrong, tells us why we need a Savior, to accept a Savior, we need something more than that. To be able to live a life worth living. To have the strength to live that new life and submit the old self to the rule of God. And the only way to be able to do that is by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can do that is to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and then submit to it. It is complete submission. And none of us really like that. We live in a culture that it is all about free choice. It's all about living a life of prosperity, of freedom, of luxury. Some of you sit there and go, my life doesn't feel very luxurious. Go to a third world country and then come back. If you have at least one automobile, you're living a life of luxury compared to the rest of the world. If you have a tap in your house, one, you're living a life of luxury. If you have a spigot outside of your home, and that's the only water outlet you have, you are living a life of luxury in your home. I remember one of my senior pastors coming back. He told me about coming back from a mission trip from Africa. And they were asking about his house because they'd never seen anything like it. You know, they have to go walk and bring back water in a bucket every day, several times a day, these big jugs. And John was ashamed to tell them he had five sinks in his house, not sinks, but spigots. Shower, sinks. He was embarrassed to tell him that. We live a life of luxury, whether we want to admit it, whether we want to see it or not. And there's this desire within us that we just want, the American culture is buy more. If it breaks, who cares? Just go out and get another one. It is absolutely fascinating to hear my son ask me questions about my own past, because I, like many of you, I live in an age I grew up without a cell phone because they weren't invented yet. My son thinks that is the most bizarre thing. And to tell you how much things have changed, my son one day, we were at a park and he goes in. And he comes out and he says, Mom, there's no soap to wash my hands. And I said, yes, there is. I just washed my hands. No, there's not. I didn't see it. I go in there with him. It's a bar of soap. He had never seen one. We'd always use the pump. That's how much the world has changed. Our soap has changed. And there's something within us, because it is so easy to get stuff. It's so easy to spend money. I mean, now you don't even have to leave your house. Before, it was so much easier to save money because you actually had to leave your house in order to go get stuff. Now they have this great thing called Amazon. And the Amazon Prime, now your stuff comes in 2 days. And you don't even have to leave your house in order to get it. Now for us introverts, that is awesome. And then we get upset when Amazon doesn't ship our stuff in a timely manner. And we don't get our stuff on time because we were irresponsible like myself. It didn't order it early enough. But it says it's supposed to come to me in 2 days. Come on. There's this insatiableness. We don't see anything wrong with it because it's so easy. It's how everybody lives. Everybody lives this way. So we think, not everybody lives this way. We have a huge issue in America. It's called self-entitlement, self-gratification, instant gratification. And it is eating us up. Materialism is eating us up. You can tell this when some of the most popular books on the market, the bestsellers, are How to Organize Your House. That tells us we have too much stuff. If we can't organize it, come on, people. We are living by the flesh, even though it may not feel sinful, because everybody else is doing it. That old adage, keeping up with the Joneses. I think most of us have passed up the Joneses. That need for more is a fleshly value. Those things that we do that make us feel good are fleshly values a lot of the time. Sometimes we feel like if we're not doing the top bad things, breaking the top 10 commandments, then we must be good people. We don't realize that we are drowning in our own issues. Each one of us has our own issue that we are dealing with, or more than one. And then some of us are struggling with forgiveness issues, with bitterness. Jesus talked over and over again, forgive as I have forgiven you. Love as I have loved you. I may forgive, but I'm never going to forget. How many of you have ever heard that one or spoken it? Every time we remember, there's that need to forgive. Just as each one of us needs the presence of Christ in our life to kneel down at the cross and repent of our sins, and receive that spirit of reconciliation to be made right with God, every single one of us has to move on to the next part of the story. And that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us, empowers us to say no to these fleshly things that we are struggling with, and then replaces it with something absolutely amazing. A loss of desire for what's bad for us, but then a desire for what's good for us. That these values rise up in us, peace and patience and self-control and generosity. In Psalms 51, the psalmist wrote this, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and bright spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. In order to live a life where we are not struggling on a daily basis with the desires of the flesh, we've got to ask the Holy Spirit in to help guard our hearts, to strengthen us. Paul said, "Where I am the weakest, I find God's strength." You put that back in context. He was just talking about these things he had been struggling with. I do the things I hate most. I have the desire to do right. I think we can relate to that. But in the power and presence of the Spirit, he finds God's strength where he is the weakest. Now I'll say this, once we ask the Holy Spirit in, it's not instantaneous because it's a learning process on how to rely on the Spirit. Once we've asked the Spirit to come in and rise up within us, it is a practice of submission to the Spirit on a daily basis. And submission is hard, especially when we have lived a life where we get whatever we want. Whenever we want. When we've lived life not knowing how blessed we are, not knowing what contentment is, not knowing what satisfaction is. Not knowing self-control in every facet of our life. But with every day, with the Holy Spirit residing within us, it becomes easier. And it's absolutely amazing because we do become changed from the inside out. 2 Corinthians tells us, for we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are made new. Now, every single one of us, we are washed in the blood. God sees a new creation in us, but we have the very potential within us to live into that and be that creation. Not perfect by any means. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are moved on into perfection. But it is a lifetime process. But if we stop 2/3 in the story, that process is going to be a whole lot slower. Some of us sitting here today are still wondering what it's going to be like to have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit residing in our lives. And I'll tell you, for most of us, it is extremely subtle. So easy to ignore because the Holy Spirit will not bend you or break you. Holy Spirit will continue to suggest and suggest and suggest. And the more you listen to that voice and obey and take those suggestions, the more you'll learn to recognize that voice. And that voice will become stronger and stronger and stronger. And that insatiable voice, the one that says, I want, I want, I want, that's constantly reasoning to you to do the things that you hate, will become quieter and quieter and quieter. But if you do not listen to the Spirit, that voice will fade into the background. It will never leave you or forsake you. It will continue to love you. But submission is the key. So your homework this week is to pray, to invite the Holy Spirit in if you have not, to pray a prayer of submission, to pray to the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit guides you and leads you into right paths that leads to a life abundant. You see, life abundant isn't found in material things. Do you know the number one growing country of Christianity right now, even in Methodism? It's Africa among the poor, because they don't have material things getting in the way, numbing them and blinding them of the truth and the power of what God can do. Sometimes we're just too comfortable to pursue something even greater beyond ourselves. That's your challenge this week, to pursue something greater than you already have. No matter how many faucets and spigots you have in your house, and how many cars you have in your driveway, how many cell phones you've went through in the last 10 years, how many televisions you have in your house, and if they're the best and the greatest. I was in Conn's the other day, you know they've curved televisions now? Who knew? Those things don't matter. There is something greater, something more abundant, and something more fulfilling waiting for you. And it's the last 3/3 of the story. We get to live here, now, today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Merciful God, you are good and glorious in all things. We give you praise that you love us so much that you want to be with us day in and day out, pursuing us, wanting a relationship with us, and making us better than we ever imagined. Thank you, Lord God. In the power of Jesus' name we pray. Amen.